Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I welcome all of you back to my monthly teaching. And today we are in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Amen. So, Father God, I just ask that you guide me and you direct me and let your words come forth, not mine, and give each person that hears this message a receptive heart, Lord, to receive your word. Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us, that guides us, that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's all go to Daniel chapter 10. Let me know when you're there.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 10. So as you know, I like to do interactive teaching because that's how we learn. When we participate, we learn. So I always have, or I like to have, each and every one of you read. So we're going to start with Daniel 10 verse 1. And I will take anyone that will read, and as soon as you have it, just start reading.
In the third year
of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision.
Amen. So let me preface this by saying, this is a prelude to chapter 11. The actual vision is explained in chapter 11. So this is a prelude to it, amen? So it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. So we know that Persia is today, what, Iran, right?
Right.
So just bear in mind, you know, so that we get an idea what's going on, you know, in the world, we can say. So his name was Belshazzar. So we know this Daniel, right? He was one of the young men taken over to Babylon?
Yes.
Okay. And this is the second reign, right? I mean, in the sense that the first king was Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. And that was the Babylonian Empire. And this is the empire of the Medes and the Persians, okay? You know, in history, how empires conquer empires and succeed now. So we need to, you know, have an idea what's going on. So this is actually in 536 B.C., 536 years before year 1 A.D., right?
Yes.
Okay, and what had happened? King Cyrus had led some of the Jews return to Jerusalem. You know, you remember that, right?
Yes, yes.
But apparently, Daniel is still in the Persian Empire. Okay, he has not gone back, all right? He's older now. You know, he's an older man. You know, he's still in, probably in the, how should I say it? He probably still works for the king, you know, is there as a representative of the king.
Still in his court.
Yeah. What'd you say?
I said still in his court.
Yes, absolutely. And then in some versions, and other than understanding the vision, you have the word conflict. The phrase is the great conflict. Amen. And so what that signals is that the vision is going to involve very intense struggle. Okay? So you get an idea of the type of vision that he's going to get. Amen? Amen. So that's the background. It's the Persian Empire. And we say the Medes and the Persians, but the Persians had dominance. It's the Persian Empire. Daniel is an older man still there. Amen. And then it says, there's a message for him, okay? There's a vision, okay? So let's go to verse 2 and see what that says.
In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no peasant food, no meat, no wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled.
Amen, amen. So, what's Daniel? First he tells you, right? He says what? He's mourning.
Mourning.
Have you ever mourned? I think we've all mourned, right?
Yes.
We've all been very sad, and we've cried out over certain things that have happened in our lives, right? So here's Daniel mourning, and it suggests that he's in distress, amen? And we don't know exactly, but it could be, you know, the people are returning to Jerusalem, and maybe there's distress in the return. Maybe there's delayed in the restoration, amen? Because they're supposed to restore the temple. They're supposed to restore the temple, amen? And maybe there's delay. Now look what he says. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, no wine, nor did I anoint myself. Do you remember the people of old when they would fast? Well, I remember, you know, they would put on certain garments.
Yes.
And even in the very times of the Bible, they would sit in ash. They would sit in ash, and
yes,
they would sit up. I remember Mom used to wear like this brown garment, a sackcloth.
Well,
mm-hmm. Yes. So this is what he's doing. Amen. He's mourning. Amen. It says here, okay. He hasn't eaten, amen. He's mourning, he's fasting, but it's a partial fast. I want you to know he hasn't been fully fasting for 3 weeks, amen. It says that I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine. So no meat, no wine, no pleasant food. So he was having something that he had to have to keep himself alive. Amen? So this is a fast. And it's a deliberate posture of sadness. Amen? Of humility. Of grief. Amen? That's what fasting is about. Fasting is not about getting thin and getting skinny, although we like to do that. But that's not what it's about. It's a deliberate posture before God of humility, of showing God that you surrender, of showing God that you need Him. You're going through this issue, whatever that issue is. Amen. And we've lost that, haven't we? I mean, how many of us have really fasted? You know, we've lost that, and we have to try to gain that. And I know that it's difficult. Amen. But here's a man. Amen. I remember my brother Peter, when he was alive, he fasted. One time he fasted for 10 days. And it was all about, you have to be attentive. It's not a fast where you go showing everybody you're fasting and, oh, woe is me, look at me, I'm fasting. It's being attentive to the spirit. It's being able to enter the spiritual realm so that spirit to spirit, so God can speak to you. Amen? That's what fasting is about. And I remember my brother told me, he said, Ruthie, I got to a point where it was like he was having visions and whatnot, you know, from God. So this is the fasting that Daniel is doing. He's removed all that's pleasant so he can focus, right?
Yes.
He can focus on prayer, and he can focus before God. Amen? Now let's go Let's go to Daniel
4.
4. Amen.
Amen.
Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted my eyes. Oh, I'm sorry. Should I keep going?
It's just that it's a lot. You can keep going when we just talk about this one, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to, he gives you the time. And when you look it up, around this time, it places this morning time, morning, you know, M-O-U-R-N-I-G, this morning time is right a little bit after Passover, okay? Passover, what is Passover about? Isn't it about deliverance? It's a time of deliverance when God had the Jews put the blood of the lamb on the lintels of the door. So here he is. He's getting before the Lord, amen, on a time that signifies deliverance, amen?
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. And then the Tigris River suggests his location. He's in Persia. He's by the Tigris River. So the implication is that because he's still there, he's in the administration of the king. Okay? Now, one thing that I read was that water. He's by the water, right? And many a times when visions occur, they occur near water. So that was, you know, and what does water symbolize? Revelation.
Oh.
Revelation. So he's about, you know, God is preparing him for a revelation that he's going to give him. Amen? Okay, so Lisa, read 5.
Okay. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz.
Keep reading 6.
His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude.
Amen.
Wow.
Isn't that some awesome imagery?
Yes.
So let's break down this imagery. Imagery. Amen.
Amen.
So look, he's clothed in linen. Amen.
White linen.
Yeah, which is associated with priests, right? The priests wore white linen, and when we hear about heavenly beings, they're usually in white linen. They're white, you know.
Yes.
Amen? And then it says, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz, right? So I looked that up. So what does Uphaz mean, right? So let me tell you, what it means is that it is a gold that signifies the finest, the purest gold, a standard of unmatched richness and beauty. Unmatched. See, the key word is unmatched. This gold is unmatched. This vision that he's seeing with the waist girded in gold, it's an unmatched gold. You can't say, well, this is gold, you know, I've seen this gold. Amen?
And amen.
That's what it means. And it means divine origin. Amen? Hallelujah. It signals purity, authority. This, you know, like they say that gold, right, is always mixed, right?
Yes.
With other metal.
Yes.
Because the 14, 18, 24 tells you the percentage of gold there is, right, Dorcas?
Yes.
And then it gives you to understand that the percentage of the other metals.
Other metals.
But this is not mixed gold.
Right.
This is pure gold. Again, authority, purity, the linen purity, you know, the gold authority, the gold divine origin. Amen. And I'm saying all these things and I'm reiterating it because I want you to get to a certain conclusion. Amen. And it's unmatched richness and beauty. This is the sash. The sash. You know, the sash that goes around the waist. Amen. Now, overwhelming divine glory. He's looking at this image of this man. Amen. What does it make? Who does it make you think of?
Christ, Jesus.
Christ. Yeah. You know, a couple of times in the Old Testament, there have been revelations of what most scholars believe is a pre-incarnate Christ. Christ before the incarnation. Amen? When he became man, prior to that. Okay? Just like when, you remember when Moses meets the priest of Salem? Melchizedek?
Yes.
And when you read about all the virtues of Melchizedek?
Many believe
it's a pre-incarnation of Christ.
Yes.
Because they say he's the prince of Salem.
Yes.
Salem was a shortened version of the name Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, Salem means peace, and it says he has no beginning, no end, so on and so forth. So we believe that he is seeing a vision of the Son of Man, a pre-incarnate vision of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So the imagery, this is an imagery that communicates power, purity, judgment, glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And listen to this. This is what you just read is Daniel's language, right? This is Daniel speaking.
Yes.
So it's like the struggle to describe divinity. The struggle. Like gold, like this gem, beryl, you know, linen. Cloth, you know?
Yes.
I can imagine. Could you imagine being in the presence of a being like this? So what happens? Amen? So look at this. Read verse 7, somebody. Anybody.
And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves.
He wasn't by himself?
Obviously not.
No, they didn't get it.
He wasn't by himself. He was by the river. And obviously, there were other men there. It doesn't mean that they were with him particularly, but they were there. So what happens? A great terror falls upon them. They don't see anything, but they sense.
They sense it, yes. And they hid.
And they hid. They fled. They fled to hide themselves, right?
Yes.
What does this remind you of? What other... In the New Testament, what does this experience remind you of?
Revelation.
Paul on his way to Damascus.
Exactly. Because he was blinded. The other men heard, but they didn't see. They did not see. They sensed it. Amen?
Amen.
So what did God do? I mean, what do you... He selectively revealed himself. Selectively. He revealed himself to Daniel, right?
Yes.
The other men did not see them.
No.
See, revelation, amen, hallelujah, is granted. It's not seized. You can't say, I'm going to get revelation. It's granted from God. It's granted. Amen. They sense. Have you been with someone that's under the influence of the Holy Spirit and maybe dancing in the Spirit and speaking in tongues? Right, Dorcas? Yeah, I've been there. And people around you don't know what's going, don't really understand. Amen.
Right.
But God is downloading to you.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So you can't say, I'm going to get revelation. God grants revelation to whom he wants to grant it to.
This is
a good picture of this man was humble. He was in humility. He wasn't saying how great I am. He wasn't saying, look at me. He humbled himself. You want revelation? We have to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. We have to recognize that without God, we are nothing.
Nothing.
My prayer to God has always been, is, I don't want anything without you. I don't want to be anything without you. I do not want to exist without you.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing has value unless it is embedded in the Lord, unless it comes from God. That's what has value. Don't put your hope, your heart in these resources, these earthly resources that the government can take away from you. 1, 2, 3. Or you can lose because of bad decisions. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
We have to put our trust in God. He's our provider. He's the one. We got to get there. But you recognize, you know, I have no fear. I have no fear because I said, well, the Holy Spirit is with me. My husband, John, you see him, he's always telling me, be careful, be careful, be careful. And of course, I have him that helps me a lot. But I have no fear because the Spirit of the Lord walks with me.
Amen.
I wholeheartedly believe that with all my heart. Amen. So again, revelation is granted. It is not seized. I'm going to get a revelation. No way. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. Let's go to verse 8.
Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength.
Amen.
Amen.
So, have you been there? I've been there too. I've been there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened? He was drained of strength. A divine encounter. Divine. You know the word says, no man shall see God and live, right?
Right.
And you see, when Moses wanted to see God, right? God says, I'm going to put my hand on your face and I'm going to pass by you.
Yes.
What it's really about is human frailty.
Yes. Yeah.
We do not have the strength when it comes to divine encounters. Amen.
Amen.
He said, I retained no strength. Amen. Hallelujah. My vigor was turned to frailty.
Yes.
I remember an encounter with the voice of God, and I was running up and down the foyer until the effects of that encounter finally left me. I had no control over my body. I could not stop. That's a different example, but it's the same idea. No. You know? Daniel was what? He was a spiritually mature man, right? Yes. And being spirit, and even though he was spiritually mature, he became undone. Undone. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. That speaks to me.
Amen.
Of the divinity. Divinity. We're mere mortals. We have not put on a glorified body yet. Yes, God does intervene, and he does allow certain things. And he allows us to be, to have his manifested presence. Amen? But individual divine encounters are rare. But God can do all things.
Amen.
They're rare. And I don't believe everyone that gets on television and every pastor, well, the Lord said this and the Lord said that. And he was speaking to me and he was sitting in my room and we were talking face to face. Oh, yes, I've heard that. And I won't tell you by whom, which minister. But you know how disrespectful of divinity, of divinity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in a glorified body yet. Yeah. We will be in a glorified body. And we will see God face to face. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
God. And here's this awesome man of God who's completely undone when he sees the presence of this divinity. Let's go to the next one.
Nine.
Yes.
Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground.
Amen, amen. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep. He was prostrated.
Prostrate, yeah.
He was prostrated on the ground.
Yes.
That's what we should be, divinity, when divinity. And this is where he was, with his face on the ground. The voice overwhelmed him. The voice overwhelmed him. That's what I can relate to. The voice, amen? He fell to the ground in submission. And in what? Inability to stand before holiness.
Amen, amen, yes.
For holiness. That's why it just hurts me. So many ministers take divinity as if it's nothing, as if they can equate themselves to divinity. Let's go to verse 10.
Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands.
So somebody... touched him, right?
Yes.
Suddenly a hand. He didn't say that this image or this vision that he didn't say who touched him, so we don't know. But a hand touched him, and what it did was it stabilized him so he could begin to listen. Because in a posture of overwhelming awareness of divinity, what do you do? What do you say? He was unable to do anything, and yet a gentle touch. He was touched, and it stabilized him. And what was he able to do? Listen. He was able to listen. You know that when we're overwhelmed and people are talking to us, we don't hear half of what they say.
Right?
We don't hear. So the touch... God's messenger restored him. Amen? restored him, whether it was God himself standing there before him, but he was touched and he was restored and he was able to listen. Let's do verse 11. I break these down most of the time, verse by verse, because if we take too many verses at one time, we kind of lose some information. So let's go to verse 11.
And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling.
Wow. Hallelujah. So what does he say first? Greatly beloved. Wouldn't you love for the Lord to say to you, Vinny, you are greatly beloved. Wouldn't you love that?
Amen.
For God to say to us, you're greatly beloved, to send a messenger. Now again, he affirms him. He affirms him, right?
Yes.
And it's an intimate affirmation, you know? And the thing about it is that we've all had our experiences with God, right? And it's personal and whatnot. And it's so hard to make another understand
what
you've gone through and what you've received, right?
Right.
It's like everyone is skeptical. Right? Oh, you know. But
yeah.
Very hard. That's right, greatly. And he goes, stand upright. Amen. So he stood upright and he's trembling, but he gets up, he is affirmed, amen. And he lets him know, here's the angel, greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. What does that tell him? Daniel, this is not about you personally. What you're going to hear and what you're going to learn is not directed at you personally, because you're greatly beloved. Amen?
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. So it establishes that what's going to come comes from divine concern and not from divine anger. God is not angry, but God is concerned. So God is revealing, is going to reveal things that are going to come to pass. Again, I reiterate, you'll see that in chapter 11. Right now, we're establishing the scene. We can put it that way. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, somebody read 12.
Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard.
Amen, amen.
And I have come because of your words.
Amen, amen. So, listen to what it says. Because we don't focus on what we read half the time. It says, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself. From the first day. How many weeks was Daniel fasting and praying for?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. 3 weeks. This encounter doesn't take place until 3 weeks have gone. So he says, from the first day. Amen. Hallelujah. So God receives your prayer. And immediately sends answers, whatever those answers may be. Even though you think he hasn't, even though you experience delay, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A delay may be an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Okay.
A delay may be an answer. Amen. No, no action may be no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So don't give up on your praying. Mm-hmm. Don't give up on your seeking. Don't give up on your knocking. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the word says.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Keep seeking, keep knocking. What's the third one? Keep on.
Asking.
Asking.
Keep asking. Keep seeking. Right?
Keep knocking.
Exactly. And if you look into the Greek of those of that phrase, it is put into the continuous sense. It's put in the continuous grammar. You know, in the words mean. Excuse me.
I just said continuous context.
Yeah, it means keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking.
Continue.
And people say, "Oh, I prayed once, and that's enough. God knows, and I'm not supposed to pray for it again." But that's not what the word says.
Right.
The word says keep on, keep on, keep on. Amen. Continuous. Amen. Hallelujah. So his prayer was answered. His was answered immediately. Delay is not denial. Okay?
Right.
So, you know, delay is not denial. So let's go. What happened? This is a continuation. Dan, what's verse 13? What happened?
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia.
Uh-huh. Amen, amen. So, you see a picture, right?
Yeah.
He's speaking of the prince of Persia, and then he's speaking of Michael.
Yes.
What is this? What's happening? It's not happening for Daniel.
Spiritual warfare.
Yes.
Exactly. Spiritual warfare. Cosmic warfare is taking place. The Prince of Persia is a demonic entity.
And what it
tells you is that angels and demons are given demons take nations and influence them. And he says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So over Iran, there is this demonic entity that influences. And then he says, then he says that Michael, one of the chief princes, so we know Michael as an archangel.
Archangel.
Yes.
And who is he prince over? What nation?
Israel.
Exactly. And look at the struggle here. Now, in this, I'm under the impression that this is the angel Gabriel. Okay? Now, Daniel saw a manifestation, I believe, of the pre-incarnate Christ. But I also believe that the angel that touched him, it was Gabriel. I believe that Gabriel is the one that spoke to him. Amen? This is what I believe. You can research it and let me know if you find something to that.
Because Gabriel is usually a messenger.
Right.
And Michael is a warrior.
Exactly. And the Prince of Persia is a demon. Amen. And Christ does not have to fight a demon. He can just speak.
That's right.
So I believe this is Gabriel, because as you said, he's the messenger that we see throughout scripture. So you have spiritual warfare which influences political events.
Right now too.
Absolutely, right now, absolutely. Amen. So this is not a human ruler. This is a demonic spiritual power, the Prince of Persia. Amen.
Amen.
And what you also see, Michael, remember that demons are fallen angels, right?
Yes.
Michael is able to overcome this demon, but Gabriel was not, right? So there is rank, there's hierarchy, there's rank in the spiritual system. You have angels of different ranks. You have demonic entities of different ranks. Because when you go to, I think it's Ephesians, He goes, powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in high places. There's rank in the angelic and demonic hosts. There is rank. One is stronger, greater than the other. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, verse 14. 14, oh, is that it? Yeah, 14.
Now, I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come.
Okay, that's simple. The vision is future-oriented, right? And it's going to expand. Look, what will happen to your people in the latter days. So it's a future, it's a vision for the future, amen? And it is going to extend beyond Daniel's lifetime. Why? Because it's for his people. And his people live beyond Daniel's lifetime. Right?
Right.
That sounds logical?
It sounds okay. Logical, yes.
And it doesn't mean end of the world, but it's an unfolding of Israel's future. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it is said, if you want to know the prophetic time clock, look to where?
Israel.
Amen. That's right. Amen. 15. Go ahead, Mark. Read 15.
When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face towards the ground and became speechless.
Again, what happens to Daniel? This is too overwhelming.
Yeah.
This is too overwhelming. The angel tells him, I'm going to tell you about the future.
Yeah.
Amen? I'm going to tell you about, let me see what he said before. He says, in the one before, he says, I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people. Amen? In the latter days. And then he says, when he spoke these words to me, I turned my face to the ground and became speechless. He couldn't talk. He was so overwhelmed.
Yes.
Physically overwhelmed.
With the seeing also. With the seeing and all this has to be overwhelming.
Exactly. And have at times silence reflects reverence. Be still and know that I am God. You know, and not referring to him, but there are some times when we can't say anything, right? Because the manifestation is too overwhelming and we feel inadequate.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
We feel like we're not able to respond. Have you been there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know? So that's what he's feeling. That's what he's going through. It's reverence. It's an inability to respond. I'm physically overwhelmed. 16.
And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength.
Amen. And here he goes now. See, and suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. So there you get the idea that there's more than one spiritual being there.
Yeah.
You know, there's more than one. And then he touches his lips, right? And he opens his mouth. Amen? So, isn't it Isaiah 6?
Isaiah, yes, that's what I think of. 6.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Where God is
calls to his lips.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I don't know the symbolism of using coals. You know?
Remember, Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and my people are, and so yes. That's when the coal came on his lips.
Purification. So his lips are touched, and what happens? He's able to speak.
Cool. Yeah.
Because he said, "Sons, one like the Son of Man, sons of men, touch my lips, then open my mouth and spoke." And saying to him who stood before me, "My Lord," okay. So anyway, he touches his lips and he enables him to speak. Now, I would like to do a research on that, those words, and one having the likeness of the sons of men. Now, he didn't say the Son of Man.
So it was probably angels.
But he wouldn't know the Son of Man because right. He is before Christ.
Christ right.
So he has no vision. So maybe he is describing Christ, like, because he sees him in human form, although in divinity. Amen? So we don't really, you know, so there's more to me. There's more than one person here. Anyway,
yes.
So God is the one that enabled that communication. He enabled him to speak. And in our frailty, God can enable us to speak. Amen? Sometimes the spirit is so overwhelming that you feel you can't bring forth or you can't speak. But God will enable you to do so. Amen?
Or you see the inadequacy inside yourself. And
exactly.
You say, well, I'm inadequate. How can I speak?
Yeah. That's the mind. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
17.
For how can this...
You want it? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Vinny.
For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me.
So basically, you know, we could have read 16 and 17 together, because it really is like one thought.
Yeah.
So again, he acknowledges his weakness. Amen. How many, I'm going to put this in quotes, great men of God of today acknowledge weakness, frailty.
No, that's not in them.
Not many, not at all.
Right.
And yet, he did not hide his weakness or frailty. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
His biblical faith does not hide frailty. Amen.
That's right.
It brings it before God. If you look. God knows you. God knows you inside out, right?
Yes.
God knows everything about you. So we can say to him, I can't do this. I don't have the strength to do that. I don't have the intelligence to do that. I don't have the background to bring that forth. Because he knows it already.
Yes.
He knows you and me inside out. So we can acknowledge before God. You don't have to acknowledge it before people, but you should acknowledge your weakness before God.
Amen.
We should, you and I. Amen?
Amen.
And not be afraid to acknowledge, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I can't do this. You got to do this. You want to use me, but you do it, Lord.
Amen.
He knows
us.
He wasn't afraid.
Yeah.
In any area, and that goes in any area, in your feeling, how you feel about somebody. How if you feel inadequate, if you feel angry towards someone, because those are human feelings. If you feel not able to do something, you know, if the task seems too large, if you don't want something to happen, but you know that God does.
Amen.
If you know that And I'm, you know, personal level. I'm talking on a personal level. We got to bring it before God. Mm. There are people I don't want to associate with. I bring it before God. God knows that we have these feelings. Amen.
Amen.
God knows it. Oh, we can't. Sometimes there are things that we cannot handle, because we know that if we take a step to handle it, we're going to mess it up. Because the attitude and our anger and our frailties are going to get in the way. So we got to give it to God. He sits on the throne. Acknowledge. We got to acknowledge our frailties.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Every time I do a teaching and I share this verse, I go to Proverbs 16:3. And it says, commit your work to the Lord, and he shall establish your thoughts. That's how I bring these teachings forth. Amen. I commit them to the Lord. And Amen. I tell them, establish my thoughts. And I try to research as much as I can, because you can't just expect him to give you and you have nothing in you for him to clarify for you. And a lot of people like to
Amen.
You can't minister without doing the work. You got to get in the word. And then what you don't understand in the word, you research. And then you first go to the Lord. That's what I do. Establish my thoughts. I did that all through seminary. And I'm telling you, my credo was an A+, 50 pages, an A+. But I gave it to the Lord, and I asked him, and I did my work. It wasn't easy, right? For those of you that have studied, right, you know, you got to write your papers. You can't go to somebody else. I'm going off on a tangent. We know people that have masters and don't know how to put a sentence together. Together, right, Dorothy?
That's
we
right.
We know people. We know
what
people.
The award you got. Knowing the Bible.
Oh, yeah, I got a biblical scholarship award. One of three awards. That was one award, and I got that award. But I studied. This is funny. An aside. When I got that award, so we had the whole PCM sitting there and whatnot, right, talking?
Yep, I remember it well.
They were all there, and they called out my name, and I'm looking around. I'm saying, he's calling me? Is he calling me? I mean, we got PhDs sitting in the audience, getting their doctorates, you know?
Yes.
I'm saying. And then the president said, yes, Ruth, I'm calling you. But I'm not saying that to gloat, because we all have studied and we've all done the work. Amen?
We're so proud.
But I'm just trying to say that, you know, we have to acknowledge our weaknesses before God. We have to acknowledge our frailties. We have to ask him to help us. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Pastor Ruth, look what it says in Psalms. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. Amen. Let's go to
17.
Mm-hmm.
18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
18.
And then again,
the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me.
That's right. So, God does not merely command strength, he imparts it. He gives us strength. Amen?
Amen.
Divine encounters include both revelation and what else? And empowerment. I could tell you another story related to that. I know I'm talking too much. Anyway. Anyway. When I lived downstairs from my daughter's house in Tulip in Farmingville, and I had the ministry already, and I was exhausted. I was exhausted. And I laid down in the bed and I was praying. I said, Lord, you got to give me strength. I can't do this. This is too much. Because ministry is too much. And I'm sleeping and I see this figure standing in front of me. Could not see the head. It was this figure, I believe was an angel, was tall. All I could see was like below the shoulders. And the funny thing that he's got a navy blue business suit. And as an accountant, when I worked for CPA firms and we went on visits, we were told to wear a navy blue business suit. That was so funny to me. And he said to me, "Give me your hands." It was a vision. And I gave him my hands. And I felt currents running from him to me, strengthening.
Wow.
Divine encounters, divine empowerment. You're tired? You're tired? Pastor Bernice, tired? Ask God to give you strength. Ask God to give you strength. Anyone here? Amen. You're tired? And we have emotional, I had physical and emotional tiredness. God, this is what he did to Daniel. It says here, look. Then again, one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. Hallelujah. You need strength? Ask the Lord to strengthen you. He said that the angels were created to minister to the saints. We are the saints of God. Amen. We are the children of God. Ask him for strength. You need strength? Ask him for strength. We're almost done. 19. Verse 19.
And he said,
Go ahead.
And he said, "O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong." So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me."
Okay, very simple. What does he give him? Gifts. He says, love. He says, be loved. And then he tells them, fear not. Amen. Don't be afraid. Amen. And then he gives him peace. Right there, he's imparting those things. He's imparting love. You're loved. You're going to feel it. Peace. I'm giving you peace. You're going to be at peace right now. This encounter, you're going to be at peace. I'm giving you strength. Amen. And then what does he do? He acknowledges that I was strengthened. This angel did these three things. He addressed what the man was feeling. So share with God. He'll address those areas, amen? And number 20.
Then he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come."
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting? Amen. So he has come. Do you know why I have come? Now he doesn't really explain why there. We're going to see all this in verse 11, and we know why. He's giving him a vision of future events. He's already told him that, right? Right? So,
yeah.
What did he say? Prince of Greece is going to come. Spiritual conflict. You know, the angels are engaged in battle. Amen? Hallelujah. You know what? Have you ever heard people say, "I wish I could see the spiritual realm"? No, you don't. You would see the demons and angels fighting all around. Demons and angels fighting. Because the spiritual conflict is ongoing in the spiritual realm, spiritual conflict. Now he says, did you think about the Prince of Peace? Because I'm going and the Prince of Peace of Greece is coming.
Greece.
Prince of Greece. Well, what's the empire that conquers that conquers Persia? Remember, we have Babylon, we have Media Persia, and what's the next one?
Greece.
Alexander the Great. He's the one that conquers this empire. And there is a demonic entity over Greece, over the nations. I'm not just picking these two nations out, but there are entities, spiritual entities. Amen?
Amen.
But the nations, there are demonic entities over the nations, even over the U.S.
Yep. Yes.
Demonic entities that want to influence what's going on. And he says, and the prince of Greece is coming, because Greece is the next empire that's going to arise. Amen? So he just mentions it. Spiritual conflict is ongoing. Amen?
Yes.
Revelation. He's going to be given revelation. It occurs within conflict. God will give you revelation within the conflict. Look at our nation. Look at what's going on in our nation. And I'm not going to get into it, but I have my own opinions. Look at what's going on in our nation. So much conflict.
Yes.
So much conflict. So many people dying.
Yes.
Entities over our nation.
Yeah, that's right. You can see it now.
And I believe it's a call to repentance. We have to repent. Our nation has to repent.
We need a revival.
A new exactly, way. But revival doesn't come unless there's repentance.
Mm-hmm.
You got to repent, and then revival will come.
Amen.
There is one more verse.
Yes.
21. Somebody read it.
But I tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince.
Okay. So Michael is the prince of Israel, right? He's the archangel over Israel. And look at this. And here you see the ranks. You see the ranks. He says, no one upholds me against these. Against whom? The demonic entities. The prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, except Michael, your prince. So you see that Michael in the hierarchy is greater than these demonic entities. Amen? Mm-hmm. God appoints spiritual entities over nations. Amen? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Right? Michael is a good angel, right?
Yes.
For Israel, right? Okay, and so, you look at history, you look at what's going on. It's not only arising from non-spiritual events. It's also arising from spiritual events because there is conflict, right?
Yes.
There's spiritual conflict. There's demonic entities ruling and but under God. You know what I'm saying? They're not greater than God, but have influence over the nations. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to end it with this. So what do we see? Amen? We see that prayer activates heavenly movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prayer. We have to pray. We have to pray for activation to take place in areas of our concern.
Mm-hmm.
Concern about our nation, we have to pray for our nation. We mm-hmm. have to pray for righteous and justice to be effected in our nation, amen? We mm-hmm. have to pray, amen, for God to rule our nation once again. God, not men. Not men,
that's
God.
Problem, man.
Amen? Mm-hmm. You know that spiritual warfare influences political events.
Yes.
Spiritual war. There are demons speaking into the ears of those that are in charge. I wish you all would read the trilogy of, what was his name? Rosie, you remember? What was his name? You know, this present darkness, the prophet, and what was the third one? These books are about 30 years old. but it will enlighten you as to spiritual conflict. I read it over 30 years ago.
This present darkness.
Yeah, this present darkness and the prophet and the third one.
Who's the author?
Oh, man. Just put the book in and you'll find the author. This present darkness was the first one that came.
This present darkness.
Did you look it up? It will give you clarity on what spiritual conflict is all about. And it will tell you.
Derek Prince,
yes.
Okay, I got it. Frank E. Peretti.
Frank Peretti. If any of you have not read his books, you might find them in, the websites that have old books and whatnot. You need to read them. You will have absolute clarity at what goes on in the spiritual realm and how prayer activates angels on your behalf.
Amen. You gave me that book.
I
have it.
You got to read it. Can I have it back?
After I read it.
Okay. I want to read it again.
March.
One of them, that was that one. Then the prophet shows you, I think it's the prophet. One of them shows you how demonic entities have crept into our universities.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that, Rosie?
Piercing the darkness, is that one?
Yes, that's the darkness and the prophet.
I don't have the prophet. Okay, we gotta get them, guys. So, spiritual warfare, like I said, influences political events. You gotta see demonic entities and what's going on worldwide.
Yeah, you gotta.
And look how God loves Daniel.
Yeah.
God loves faithful servants.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let's try to be faithful servants. Ask God to help us. And let's repent every time we do something wrong because, Renita said earlier today, we do keep doing things that, wrong things. Let's say we keep it because we snap. Anyway, and you feel weak? That's not a barrier to divine revelation. It's not a barrier. It's a good thing. Weakness. Just get before God and you're faithful and you're truthful. And he help you in your weakness. Amen? And he can support divine revelation. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. And that's it. There are battles going on in the unseen realm. And those battles,
they're real.
Real. And if you're not going, through something, then you're not a threat to the demonic demonic kingdom. You're not a threat. So if you're going through something, it's not good, but rest assured that the reason they're coming against you is because you are aligning yourself with God, and they want to discourage you. And they want to make you give up on God. And they want to make you think, Lord, it's not worth serving you because you don't do anything for me. It's not that God is not doing anything for you. It's that the demonic kingdom is coming against you.
Right.
And you're blessed.
Yeah.
You're so blessed. And next month, we'll get into the revelation, the vision. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Very good word.